Welcome to South of King's Landing, Explosion Network's House of the Dragon after show, where we discuss and break down each and every episode of House of the Dragon Season 1. My name's Dylan Blight. Joining me, Hand of the King, Ashley Hopley.
Hey Dylan, excited to be here. This, you know, fine occasion.
Is it? Fine?
I guess.
I was like, I don't know if it is.
You know, it's a nice family reunion. That's what it was.
Yeah, sure. This week's episode was titled Lord of the Tides, was directed by Jeeta Vasant Patel, written by Brian J. Condal, Eileen Shim. Synopsis was, 6 years later, with the Driftmark succession suddenly critical, Rhaenyra attempts to strike a bargain with Rhaenyra's. Many people's names are either the same or sound exactly the same in the show, so that's a problem. Anyway, what are your thoughts on this week's episode?
Really good, again. I think this potentially could be the episode that earns Petty Constantine an Emmy Award.
I was saying the exact same. Yeah,
so. I mean, yeah, he's pretty incredible as
he's been incredible in the high show, but the arc,
and obviously this is the final episode, just a man on his last legs. Incredible performance. Obviously there's another time jump, but I feel like it hasn't been as rough as the last couple. But yeah, I really enjoyed it, you know. It was an interesting episode, and I feel like it is definitely setting up the show. The events of this episode are going to have terrible repercussions going forward.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
It's really funny because ultimately this show, the entirety of this first season feels like the prelude to what this show is actually about.
Setting up the infighting of the Targaryens and the eventual fall of the house.
Yeah. So in the books or whatever, from my quick Google, the dance of dragons or whatever, if you will, apparently goes for 3 years is what the Googles say.
Mm.
So we've been doing all these time jumps or whatever else, but I feel like once we're about to get into that war stage.
Yeah.
And that's going to go for 3 years. So we're not getting time. That's the same. Like, we're not getting time. Yeah.
So this is about the demise of the dragons, really.
Yeah.
Why we don't see any dragons at the start of Game of Thrones.
Yes.
Because of the events that happened.
I haven't looked up stuff because I don't want like all the spoilers. I did some quick fact checking stuff just out of interest, but I was trying to dodge spoilers. But from what I could tell, I'm not sure. I don't think all the dragons die out by the end of like this, but they are like very low. And then
I think what they said, like from memory, somebody said like once they were like massive creatures, but by the end, the dragons were as small as your hand or something like that.
So, you know what I mean? Yeah, by the end of this, I think maybe there's some, but they're babies and then they can't make any more. Or I don't know. Like, I feel but basically, this is the catalyst of the. This
is an interesting point to say when we start the episode with. Daemon finding 3 dragon eggs. Freshly laid.
Bloody Tomb Raiders his way down there into steal some eggs right out from under there.
Good old Daddy Daemon.
Yeah, Daddy Daemon. I really like Daemon this episode. He was like,
he's super likable now.
Yeah.
And like not at all problematic. No. It's like a great print. Okay.
It's really weird. I mean, again, you have to put aside all the everyone's marrying inside the family thing, but with that aside,
we have to deal with.
Because I feel like this episode's best scene, and one of the reasons, like we're talking about Paddy
Constantine
getting an award, is surely that scene where he walks into the throne room.
Yeah.
And the fun fact I saw, I don't know if you saw this as well, was apparently crown.
The crown.
Yeah, that's crazy because that is such a moment for those characters, I feel. So, yeah, if anyone who doesn't know, when the crown falls off Viserys' head as he's climbing his way up to the throne, apparently that wasn't meant to happen. And it was just Matt Smith sort of playing into the moment, picks it up, they carry up with him, and then he puts the throne on his head. So none of that was in the script. However, like within the context of the show, him like Damon putting that crown and like helping his brother and all that is actually a rather like emotional moment for the two of them, I feel like, and a real highlight for the show.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't plan shit like that sometimes, I feel like. That's just...
I mean, just, you know, him letting Damon help him, I think was probably...
And then Damon, like, putting that crown on him and sort of giving him a nod and, you know... Like,
you know, it, considering the last time they're in that throne room, like, together, Damon, you know, saying he didn't really deserve to be king or whatever.
Yeah.
He wasn't strong enough. And then, you know, when he really needed it, you know, he was very strong.
Yeah, I think in that moment, Damon's respected him because he knows how painful it is for him to obviously come out there, but he's doing
He was when he was, like, pretty much just living on drugs the entire time.
That scene prior to that where, like, you see Paddy, like, obviously it's prosthetics and special effects or whatever else, but, like, he's just gaunt, missing an arm, like, thin...
Not missing it. He's not missing an arm, though.
Yeah, he is.
He's, well, he's not from the elbow down, at least. Oh, not from the elbow up.
No, not from the elbow. He's missing from the elbow down. Yeah, does that not count as a limb? Does that not count as missing an arm? Or?
Yeah, I guess.
I mean,
I don't want to be. In my mind, when he lost an arm, I thought it was like from shoulder down, but yeah.
Well,
but I guess if you lost it from the elbow down, that would still be losing an arm.
Look, all I'm going to say, Ash, is if you lost it either from your elbow down or your shoulder down, what fucking difference does that make, really?
Yeah, it's not, like, it's really the hand that you was what yeah, really
exactly,
missing.
Exactly. So, yeah, because that scene where he's like really gaunt and just like sitting there and, you know.
Just where they get him to sit up while they're treating him.
You see all the like holes in his body and.
All the sores and shit.
And shit's fucked up. That's what it is. It's really fucked up.
And then the scene of Rhaenyra and Daemon coming with the children and the children start crying.
Yeah, I was like, I don't think that's acting. I feel like those kids just started crying.
The prosthetics must have been really effective.
Yep.
CGI, yeah.
I think it was CGI. I think the arm CGI, but the rest is makeup and stuff. Because even his teeth are obviously all yellowed and whatever else. So Viserys dies at the end of the episode, but I mean, we can come back to stuff. I want to talk about the biggest thing, which is of course the moment at the end, like, because that's what this is the moment. I feel like, you know, this is the moment. The show ends on a moment that sort of sets in forth everything that's gonna happen in the future seasons and episodes of the
just
show.
When it could have ended out, it could have been all fine and well, you know, at the end of dinner.
Well,
you got the impression that, you know, there's the potential there that they could have all worked together.
Were you believing her when she was saying all that stuff?
Okay.
I believe maybe she believed it. I don't think that at the end of the day it was going to make much difference, because I think as soon as she got Mr. Hightower, her daddy back in her ear, she would have just like been like, you're right, no, you know, like, I feel like that was, it was no matter what it was.
I reckon there was a chance.
No chance now. So.
It doesn't really matter, but whether how much of an opportunity there could have been, but I felt like in that moment they, you know, rekindled some of their childhood love for each other, coupled with her really knowing Aegon shouldn't be king. You know?
Oh, this show does such a good job of just showing all of Alicent's kids are horrible. And all of...
That's a bit harsh on her daughter.
Okay. Apart from her daughter, all of her boy kids are horrible.
All her male heirs,
All her male heirs are horrible. And then all of Rhaenyra's kids are good. Like, that's nice. Does it very normal. The show does a very good job at saying those kids are pretty nice, but those kids, they're evil shits. Like, it very much lays it out. So, and here's the other thing, talking about like all the characters being named the same and all this other sort of stuff. Would it really, if they named characters Tom, Tim, Bob, Dylan, Ash, and whatever, like a bit more variation, what happened at the end of this episode wouldn't have been a problem. Because you got Viserys on his deathbed, thinks he's talking to Rhaenyra. He's picking up a conversation from 5 hours prior, which you may be like, who does that? To which I say, I have a dude.
Old people with dementia.
I have a person at work who does that. He's younger than me, and I think it's just because he's on the spectrum. But that's totally fine. That's
just, yeah.
Like, he'll come up to me and be like, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, right. You're talking about a conversation we started 2 weeks ago, but that's fine. Because that's what he does. He just starts talking about Aegon, like Aegon from hundreds of years ago, Aegon, who had a dream of about legend, the Song of Ice and Fire and all this sort of stuff. And that's what he's talking about. Meanwhile, Alison's like, my Aegon? That's it?
Yep.
My Aegon? You're talking about my Aegon? And then he's like, you know, I trust you. You've got to do the one. You've got to be the one to do this.
The prince that was promised.
The prince that was promised is Aegon. So she hears that and goes, all right.
All right. Well, I guess I have to make this happen.
I guess I got to make this happen. And that's what his last words were on his deathbed. So, look, the whole show, you could put the blame on any number of people. But I think we should put the blame on the fact that they decide to call several people Aegon. And that's really what the problem was. Because if they'd been called anything else, this wouldn't have happened.
Yep.
Also, fuck Alicent for not even taking a second to be like, I don't think you're actually talking to me, because I've never heard anything about the Song of Ice and Fire thing before. Like, she's just like,
really weird.
That part doesn't make any sense, but he did say Aegon. He did say King. Nah, I'll choose to only focus on the side of this conversation that means anything important to me. Yes, I'll kill your daughter. I don't want them.
Yeah.
So what do you think is going to happen?
What do I think is going to happen? I don't know.
Well, Rhaenyra head back to, they head back to wherever, I can't remember where they were.
She's going to be blindsided, I guess.
Yeah, that's a problem.
You know, she's taking her children back to Dragonstone, and she's coming back by herself. She's
flying back by herself on Dragon to be with her father.
You know?
She's going to arrive, he's dead.
Yeah. And they're going to be like, hey, we're taking over, get too bad.
Yep.
You would suspect she's going to prop a bit of a fight. I think we're going to get some dragon on dragon violence next week.
Dragon on dragon violence.
I think there's going to, she's going to have to try and escape King's Landing. Yeah. But it's interesting. But I want to touch on more stuff from this episode, because there was a lot of stuff that happened.
There was a lot. I just wanted to jump straight to the
main. What do you think is going to happen next week then? We're doing that at this part of the show. You're going completely out of order.
Yeah, it's wild. Fuck it. It's wild times, you know, Ash. I think that she's just going to, I think she's just going to lie. I don't think Alison's going to, I think Alison's going to play coy. I think she's going to. She's
playing the long game.
I think she played the long game. I think she just comes in. She just plays it nice and quiet. Oh no, your dad's dead. Let's him have the moment. Let Rhaenyra leave. And as soon as she leaves, she starts turning all the wheels. She starts like doing it while she's out, you know? She still can't kill her. Like, she doesn't have enough. If she killed Rhaenyra in cold blood, she wouldn't be able to get her son on the throne. I don't feel like that's a thing that works.
No, because it would go to her son.
Yeah, so I don't think any of that works. So
I think she's just going to work it to try and get a council, and like, he's going to be the first male heir to the king.
Mm.
Should be king.
Mm.
So
just to, I keep forgetting, the one she's going to try and get in the throne is the one who raped the.
Yeah.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Which was a very confronting and like messed up opening to the episode. Especially Alicent, who we've seen being so high and mighty, being so caring so much about honorableness, having to stoop down into the muck to protect her son, in such a incredibly relevant scene in which he like tells this woman that she believes it, believes what happened, but you know, what will other people think? What will other people say? You know, and pretty much pays her off, forces her to drink the abortion tea, and yeah,
sends her on her way because she doesn't show up for work that day.
I assume
she was told to leave the city, right?
Yeah, you know, she has enough money to start a new life,
and leave.
just an entirely messed up whole situation.
But that's just like, I felt it's a scene that could play
as
out
terrible
now.
As that was, I couldn't help but feel a little bit for Alicent because, you know, she didn't enjoy any of that.
Yeah. No, you could tell she definitely didn't enjoy it. There was a good performance there, the way you could see it, like on the lips and the face or whatever.
I feel like this episode like endeared you to Alicent a little bit.
A little bit. Still don't like her.
No. And still overwhelmingly from last week.
Yeah.
Team Rhaenyra.
Yeah. 100%.
In our poll.
Yes.
It was like 88%.
Yeah.
So.
Should have been 100, but that's fine. Some people probably just didn't watch the episode yet, like fucking Simon voting.
Yep.
Been watching the episode and being like, oh, I was wrong. Yeah, that's right. Cool.
Yeah, her telling off Aegon and slapping in the face, telling him no son of hers.
She says that, but she's still trying to get him on the phone.
Because you have to.
Yeah. And then old mate fucking...
And then her hugging her daughter who, you know... Yeah. She subjected to her son.
Yeah, she just like runs over to her straight away and just hugs her. Like she comes in and is like, where is whatever her name was? She was supposed to be.
Where is the her she's meant to be
dressing,
clothing
the kids
our children?
Yep. And why he's just like, oh, it's just a bit of fun. Or
whatever. Yep. Yeah.
So yeah, that was horrible. That was the thing that happened. And then yeah, her other kid, who was proved to be a horrible bastard last week, of course, continues to be a horrible bastard this week. Didn't see him
except
do
now
anything.
Now he's like
but he's
super skilled.
Yeah, now he's like, yeah, they definitely
super
show.
Super skilled fighter.
Yeah.
As people have been pointing out, he looks like an anime character.
He really looks like an anime character.
The white hair and the
eye patch. Yeah, he definitely looks like an anime character. Yeah, they've definitely set up where it's like, okay, so the one that she's trying to get on the throne is just a piece of shit, like just he's lazy piece of shit, like he doesn't want the throne but he's the one who's gonna get it, and he just sucks, and he's a rapist piece of shit, right? Meanwhile, the brother, who's presumably be gonna do all the fighting for his brother to get on the throne and whatever else, is actually pretty good with the sword, and that's a problem. And he has shown initiative and cunningness last week to steal a dragon away and whatever else, so yeah, I think you're definitely seeing that he's going to be a problem once we get into stuff, because at the moment, you'd be like the only person on, because now we're getting to separating him into their sides, which is the blacks and the greens. So the only person on the black side who could do anything to fight him, I feel, would be, Daemon himself.
Yeah.
Because none of Rhaenyra's kids could.
I get the impression they aren't still and not that impressive fighting wise.
No, yeah, exactly. They are definitely not skilled fighters. I feel like while they're spending all Alicent's kids are like, well, one of them's like spending all their time fighting. What do we see Rhaenyra's kids doing? They're studying High Valyrian and learning how to speak it and stuff like that.
Be politicians and shit.
Yeah. Like they're getting more, political training while that was doing straight up war fighting. I find it a bit surprising Daemon wouldn't be wanting to do more sword training though, but interesting there. And we do get to meet, was it the two Daemon Rhaenyra kids this episode as well?
Yeah, Viserys and
Joffrey's
something else.
Of one, but not that one. But yeah.
Yeah.
So she's now got what, 3, 4, 5 kids, right?
Yes.
Yep. Bloody hard to keep up. But yeah, the main crux of this episode is that the Lord of the Tides is gravely wounded.
Old Lord Corrus.
Yeah.
Dies off screen.
Dies off screen, potentially. I mean, they say he's gravely wounded. He's coming back. He's going to rest. So he's alive the entirety of this episode. They're just talking about his succession, to which everyone wants a cut of the pie. Of course, Rhaenyra's. It should be one of her sons because it's, I can't remember the person who didn't die last week's son, but then they're all bastards, of course. So that's where that whole lineage thing comes in. But then we learn that the Hand, who's the brother of he's just a piece
old
of shit.
Old Daemon.
Who?
Daemon.
Daemon. He's just a piece of shit, too. He's not really.
He gives no shits.
Absolutely not.
He doesn't. He truly believes that the Valyrian line should stay in charge of the Driftmark. So, and he truly believes, and as everybody knows, there's no Valyrian blood in that in Jace.
No. It's funny these shows when they get so down in the blood, down into blood and stuff, because it's like, you know, these days if you adopt someone, you know what I mean, like if I adopted a child, right? You know, you adopt a child, they're, you know, Stuart Little's a little.
Yeah. You know, it doesn't matter that he's not
human. Doesn't matter. He's not
a biological child.
He's a fucking little.
He still has every right to claim his share in their will when they eventually die.
That's exactly what I'm saying. You got
when Hugh Laurie dies, yeah.
Yes. You got when Hugh Laurie dies. That's good. That's exactly my point. Good, isn't it? Good. Best analogy.
I love this for us.
Well, no one else has brought up Stuart Little on their Game of Thrones
podcast. On the Game of Thrones podcast.
I can guarantee that. But yeah, so it was interesting again for the whole blood thing. I think Rhaenyra does make a good play though when she talks to the princess, Rhaenyra. You know,
Rhaenyra.
Fucking hell. These names. The whole like, I'll marry our kids and everything like that, because that means the blood gets back, like the lineage sort of gets saved, I guess, you know, when they're doing that. Mm. That's the sort of saving grace. But also I think it's really good of her. Like she doesn't do what she does to stick up for Rhaenyra's kids. She just does it for respect for her husband. Like that's why she does it.
His husband's wishes
to
continue the name Valyrian, which is more important than the actual
Blood Valyrian.
But now she's, you know, marrying off the children, so...
That's what I'm saying. Like
of her daughter, so...
That's like, you know,
there will be technically be Valyrian blood.
There will be very... That's, and I think that's what Rhaenyra says. You know? Like, hey, he will rule there... I'm sorry, I keep forgetting which one of the kids is going to rule, but Jace or whatever.
Jace,
yeah. He's going to rule there for a while. We'll marry these two kids. They'll have a child, and then by the time one of them comes into power, then she never says it, of course, because she won't. But that means the blood's back in the... That means someone will sit atop it with the actual blood back in their system. So, problem solved. Name continues, everyone's happy, blood continues. So. But yeah, he gets his head chopped in half. That was good shit. Oh, that was good shit. I love that one. I appreciate that Viserys sits up. He's like, I'll have your tongue for that. Nah, Daemon just has his head. Gone. Love that for him.
What a moment.
Great.
As well. Like, just him with the say it. Yeah. Just looking for a reason to cut his head off. And like, it's not like along the neck as we expect.
No, straight
for it's like him. Half across the throat, jaw.
Yep.
Yeah.
Just like he cut a watermelon, you know?
Pretty much. And then, you know, them preparing the body.
Yeah. She's watching. I like that scene with her watching. And she says, you know, the maester or whatever says about, you know, it's not...
It's bad luck.
Bad luck to eyes and to watch death or whatever. And she says...
It's like everybody in my life is dead.
Yeah, she's like, everyone in my life's dead. So, I'm good. Now, coming back on that, I want to take a couple steps back because I just reminded. So, after our discussion last week, hey... Do you reckon they had, did Daemon and Rhaenyra have What's-His-Face killed? And
were they in on it? Did they know?
I feel like we got the answer to this episode, which is that.
I feel like they thought he died.
No, I feel like that.
No, actually,
I feel like their plan is what happened. I feel like their plan is exactly what went through, and they're just committed to the lie. Because she never technically lies when she tells the princess then.
You don't think she lies when she says she wasn't involved in her son's death.
But she's not lying.
That's what
she... Because he's not dead.
Yeah. You think... Yeah.
That's the thing. She's actually playing a very, like... She's technically not lying because he is not dead. Was she complicit in helping him escape? That's not the question.
Yeah. So it's hard to say either way. Yeah. Well, actually, it is, because if she was, if she intended for him to die, she would have been lying in that moment. You know what I mean?
Yeah, she would have been lying because then she was complicit in attempting to have
So you think she wasn't lying and thus she planned for him to get away?
Yeah. Only because I think it's just such a dark, like, such a sudden turn for her.
Why not say it? You know, we faked his death.
I don't know. Maybe it's just she'd want to know where, how.
You know? Maybe he
wanted it. You know, like, it also then makes the lineage claim to the throne harder, all that sort of stuff. I don't know. Like, you know, it's just harder. But yeah, I just feel like everything last week, I just feel like Rhaenyra suddenly going from, like, I can't picture her doing a cold-blooded murder to cold-blooded, like, just straight up murdering her at the time husband. I just feel like that's such a steep dive.
Yeah. Jump.
Jump. Such a jump. Now, however, to have a talk to him and go over this thing and whatever else, and maybe, I don't know, maybe it could be like, why didn't we see that? I don't know. Maybe it's a long game with him. I'm sure that's a character that could come back in future seasons and whatever else. Yeah. There's plenty to be done there. But, yeah, for her to not kill him but say, hey, how about, and I'm not really giving you it. Maybe it was I'm not even really giving you a choice. This is what's happening.
Mm.
We're going to fake your death. You're going to fucking leave. You know?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that's what it was. Okay. I feel like that would make a lot more sense to me. It wasn't a choice. It was, this is what's happening. You know? Mm-hmm. They were stern. This is how it's playing out. And he was maybe a little bit like, oh, I don't want to, but secretly, I reckon deep down, he was like, this is actually best for me too. So, yeah. That's how I feel that possibly played out. What else happened in this episode we haven't talked about?
The dinner scene.
Oh, they get served a pig. It's very funny. No, Viserys's mask coming off.
Yeah, just that moment.
He looks absolutely fucked up.
Emmy award winning moment.
Yeah, but his speech was very good, obviously. His speech was very good, as was the special effects and makeup.
Yeah.
Everything that happened there. So, no, it was there. And that's like the final dinner, really. That's the last time all these characters will be together.
Together.
There's no way we're going to see all those characters in one room together ever again. Just no way.
Not unless there's knives stabbing each other in the back.
No.
Stop. Or fronts.
All of those characters in that room are going to kill one another in some way or another. But yeah. They're not. I don't think they're going to be in the same room ever again. I don't think so. So, especially since one of them's already dead by the episode. Viserys is dead. So.
That's true. It's interesting the way, you know, the generational animosity kind of is built up.
Mm.
Like, all of Allison's children are like, have a super big grudge against Rhaenyra's children for no apparent reason other than, you know, old face.
It's
Allison, old Cyclops. Allison's, understandable.
Allison's fault.
Understandable why he might be holding a grudge.
But it's kind of his fault, to be fair. He did steal a dragon and start a fight and attempted to kill someone.
Yeah.
So.
But still.
But also, I think those kids are shits because of Allison. They've been brought up to,
yeah,
you're going to be king. You know, fuck Rhaenyra.
Him, like, hitting on his cousin.
Yep. It's very weird.
And betrothed.
Yep. He's a little shit.
And then, you know, him having the strong line. You know, innuendo. Yeah, I think, you know, Rhaenyra's children did it. Held themselves up with class, and then the elder one's like dancing with his cousin or aunt, I guess.
Yeah.
It's confusing. Kind of a up yours too.
Yeah.
After she gives the toast, like, it's not so bad. Occasionally shows interest to you when he's drunk, but that's it.
Yeah.
It's kind of fun. Man. Weird family.
Yeah. Oh, your normal family. Yeah, so what? We got two episodes left?
Other thing was that there was like a messenger to Daemon's old friend.
Yeah.
As well. Like, is she going to be coming back as an important figure?
I assume so, because they only play that scene for nothing else in this episode to have anything to do with that. So I assume it's something to do with something else. That'll happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's two episodes left, right?
There is two episodes 9 left. 9 and 10.
So do you think, here's my question. Next week's episode 9,
Mm-hmm.
Penultimate episodes of Game of Thrones, usually something massive happens.
Yep.
Are we following the same tradition for House of Dragon or no?
Well, it is if my predictions are right. There's going to be a dragon fight. Hmm. I think a dragon dies tonight.
Whoa, a dragon dies tonight.
Dragon dies tonight. Dragon dies tonight.
Please don't.
Dragon dies tonight. Stop.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to assume we're still following the tradition. So I don't know if a dragon's going to die, but I assume something big happens. And then the finale of the season will be, you know, usually that's more set up, closing of stories and setting up of stories towards the next season. I don't mind the way that we got so used to that structure for Game of Thrones. I don't feel like there's any reason to change it.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting because, you know, you assume Alicent's going to come out on top and be holding King's Landing at the end of this season.
Yes, yes.
And then, you know, Rhaenyra is going to be kind of split up amongst several different positions here in Dragonstone, Driftmark.
Mm.
Other things like is are we going to get any look at the Vale, seeing as Daemon apparently owns them?
Well, yeah, I assume a lot of season two would have to be
Rhaenyra kind of manipulating other forces. Yeah.
Like them spending time, both sides spending time aligning the other parts of Westeros to their side or not their
course,
side.
Yeah.
If we're going to get several seasons out of this show, then yeah, we can't just go rushing into big battles and stuff. But I feel like that's where that sort of has to be set up, a lot of time doing other stuff like that. And not to mention that the book this is based on, obviously, is like it sort of rushes through the story. So there's a lot of room to add in new characters and expand upon subplots things and subplots stuff, and stuff like that. So, yeah. All right. That'll do it for this week's episode. The council is officially over. Join us next week for another episode of South of King's Landing, where we're going to be talking about the dragon dying, apparently. Until then, check out all our other podcasts on ExposureNova.com, including the Lord of the Rings Extended and Middle-Earth podcast. The finale episode of that is happening this week. Crazy. All new Marvelcast, the finale of She-Hulk is happening this week. Crazy. And then we've got Holocron entries with our Going Rogue series, where we're talking about Andor at the moment. That's only just starting, though. We've got some time left for that one. And then what do you want to watch for everything else, movie, TV, and media related that we haven't talked about? And then for everything else, video games and whatever else, news, reviews, all those fun things, ExplosionNetwork.com. You'll find it all there. Make it your homepage. You'll love it. Until next week, keep your dragons tight and your drink full and your pigs aplenty. Keep your sleeping masks on.